Exact measurements of time, weight, and distance have been set up as a standard for all mankind. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about an equally accurate test for truth. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, Facts Which Affect You. You know, Christianity is facing its greatest crisis today. Many of the historic beliefs of Christians are under ruthless attack. They're being attacked not only by the traditional enemies of Christianity, but by their supposed friends and supporters. Betrayal of Christ by one of his disciples carried out so many centuries ago in the Garden of Gethsemane is being reenacted today on a vastly wider scale. The kiss of Judas is being planted today by students in theological seminaries, preachers in our pulpits, and newspaper articles and magazines that claim to actually be Christian. The basic moral principles which Christianity has always represented are today being eroded away by those who feel that they're making Christianity more acceptable to the modern mind. The numerality, you remember, that came along a few years ago was probably the most outspoken segment of that new emphasis. But now we find men doing it under different titles. And yet it's the very same situation ethics that provides an excuse for stealing and lying and cheating and committing adultery and breaking all the other commandments of God. The rightness or wrongness of any act, they say, is determined by the individual involved in that given situation. Clearly, friends, such a philosophy affects every interhuman relationship, because if this philosophy is true, it involves the business world, the educational world, the political world. And, of course, if it's true, then it makes it morally right at times for a thief to steal, or for a businessman to shortchange a customer, or for a student to cheat on an examination, or even for a nation to double-cross another. It's not might which makes right, friends. It's situation that makes right. That's what they say. But that is a philosophy, my friends, that has been absolutely discounted and disproven by the Word of God. People today confused many things. The good for the evil, the light for the darkness. They confuse lust for love. They reject the accepted moral standards of the Christian world and endeavor to establish standards of their own. Many people like to be nonconformist. But in reality, they simply conform to another set of standards. This is really nothing more than the old-fashioned immorality, my friends, that has been dealt with in the Bible over and over again. Now, this so-called situation ethics claims to place a higher emphasis on individual freedom. The individual is given the opportunity to choose his own norms rather than subscribing to a set of norms established by God or the Scriptures. Moral values are determined by experience, they say, not by a book. Truth must be determined by consensus of opinion. If everybody does it, it really couldn't be wrong. Now, let me ask you something. Would you be willing to follow that philosophy in going to your family physician? Your child comes down with whooping cough. The physician says, don't worry about it. Over 50% of the children have it. It'll be all right. Would you continue to go to that kind of a doctor, friends? Then would you be willing to accept as moral principles the thinking of a group who use that kind of thinking? It's interesting to note that Americans today take 52 million aspirin tablets every day. Now, aspirin produces about the same effect as a mild tranquilizer. Historians of the future may call this the age of anxiety. Although in some ways we have less to worry about than previous generations, we seem to worry a lot more. Although we have it easier than our forefathers, we have a great deal more uneasiness. Although we have less cause for anxiety, we're really more anxious. Calloused hands were a badge of the pioneers, but furrowed brows are the signs of the modern man. Pioneers complained that they were run down from physical exhaustion. Our trouble is that we're all wound up from tension. The inescapable fact is that the devil, the archenemy of God, in order to compete with God for the dominion of this earth, has been forced to go into the religion business, and he has done it with eminent success. He is the God of this age, friends. He's the father of this situation ethics standards. Let me remind you of something else. The implication of a counterfeit is that a genuine exists. Now, you've never seen a counterfeit $25 bill in your life, and you never will, because every counterfeit bears witness to the true. Just as there is in our world today a counterfeit religion, make no mistake about it, friend, there's also a genuine. God is still alive. He's still able to offer salvation to those that come to Him on His terms. When most major church bodies have an annual convention today, they pass resolutions and pronouncements on matters concerning everything under the sun. From disarmament and federal aid to education, birth control, the United Nations, social problems, whatever that might be. And what a refreshing and amazing thing it would be to hear a church convention today pass a resolution that has something to do with the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. Our trouble today is that our moral standards don't match our intellectual advancement. And because of this, our misuse of science may be greater than our use of it. Man's knowledge has surpassed his wisdom. Billy Graham made that statement. I think it's rather interesting. He said, man's knowledge has surpassed his wisdom, and we're afraid that it's true. Remember the ministry of Jesus? He avoided every skillfully set up social and political issue of his day. Never did Christ make pronouncement on the hottest issues of his day. Remember the man who came to him and told him that his brother was cheating him out of his share of the inheritance? What did Jesus have to say about it? He never did answer the question. A moral issue? Yes, it was. But a family problem. And it called for more than financial arbitration. Jesus was here to make known the gospel of salvation. But today churches have become blundering social physicians, giving medicine here, putting ointment there, and putting a Band-Aid on some of the sores of the world. Now listen, friends. We need a physician, all right, but we need the great physician. And if we in the church want to cause a fight, then, friends, let's fight sin. Let's leave the political problems with the politicians. To the hungry, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. To the thirsty, He said, I am the water of life. To the tired, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. To the guilt-laden one, He said, your sins are forgiven. And even to the dead, He said, arise. Now, tragically, churches of our generation have substituted good works, community action, social reform, religious ritual for a personal salvation as taught by Jesus. And this brings me to a couple of questions I want to share with you today. We try to paint a picture of two things. Number one, the attempt of modern man to invent a religion of his own. And number two, we've sought to contrast this very briefly with the gospel of Jesus. And that brings us face to face with this question. With two opposing philosophies, with two opposing ways of life, which is right? Which should I follow? Which will bring me the greatest happiness and the greatest peace of mind? Well, let's compare this situation ethics that we've been talking about with the gospel of Jesus and its final test. Not in its philosophy now, but what it actually does in the end. For example, one of them discards the moral code of the Scripture. It says it's too old-fashioned, too out of date to fit in with our present world. You go to any high school principal and ask him the percentage of unmarried high school girls that give birth to illegitimate children every year. And then you go visit a few of those girls, and I want to ask you, is this bringing happiness? As a preacher, maybe I'm in a better position to answer that than some other people are, but you take my word for it, my friends, it is not happiness. The divorce rate in America would certainly belie the fact that the gospel of free love, as I like to call it, brings happiness to modern man. All right, let's take another area now. This new code supposedly tells us that we need to feel no personal responsibility or obligation to any law, either God's or man. And that's the way they live. If they think it's right, it's right. Doesn't make any difference what God or man says. Now, I'm sure that you realize America today teeters on the virtual edge of this kind of social anarchy, friends, and moral anarchy. Our law enforcement officials are literally handcuffed. They don't dare arrest anybody except under the most extreme circumstances for fear of ending up themselves on trial for their efforts to enforce the law. As a simple illustration, Suppose that after this broadcast, I go down and by illegal means break into a local food store and steal a loaf of bread. I'm subject to arrest and imprisonment, of course. But if I get all of you to go with me under the guise of a riot, we can tear the place apart and none of us will be arrested. Oh, one or two maybe, but they'll be turned loose if I can convince the authorities that it's a riot. It's all right. You see what I mean when I say that the standard of man today doesn't bring peace or happiness? It always brings trouble. But the advocates of this new philosophy would like us to believe that we must have the liberty to establish our own standards. Let's say that we do for the purpose of argument. We'll give ourselves the liberty to establish our own moral standards, our own rules of right and wrong. We'll do what we believe is right without regard to the laws of God or man. All right? Suppose you operate a grocery store. I come to you as a customer. You sell me a quart of milk that contains only 3 cups, not 4. Will I be satisfied with that? No. You sell me a yard of cloth that's only 30 inches rather than 36. Will I be satisfied with that? Absolutely not. When it comes to my business transactions with my fellow man, I want to know that they use the same system of measurement that I do, right? That's the only way I have any hope of getting a fair share in the bargain. And if we're that particular with our relationship with our fellow man, don't you suppose God has a right to establish for his children a standard of right and wrong which he knows is best for us? I believe I have a right to know that my fellow men deal with me by a standard of value which is generally accepted in our society. I think it's not inconceivable that the great God whom we worship has a right to establish for us a standard of right and wrong which is for our best good. Now, somebody's going to say, well, preacher, in this mixed-up world in which we live, how can we ever find out what's right and what's wrong and how God wants us to live? Now, that really isn't a very hard question for a preacher to answer. The answer is right here in the Bible. It's a big book, and parts of it are rather difficult to understand, but let's try. You know, the Apostle Paul, looking down through the stream of time to our day, made this observation. He said, this know also, that in the last days perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Well, friends, that sounds just like our own day, doesn't it? It really does. And the words of the Apostle Paul say, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Listen, the answer to all of these problems of violence and crime and tragedy today, friends, is Jesus. He is the sure foundation that we all need, and he is the foundation that will endure. Now, for those who would enjoy having some assistance in the study of his pure word, I'd like to recommend you enroll in our free Bible correspondence course. It consists of a series of 12 beautiful information folders. And I'd like to suggest you start with folder L, entitled, It's Still There. That's folder L, the letter L. And by the way, when you write, be sure to include the call letters of this station that you're listening to. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.